Danielle, you'll get a kick out of this. You asked about the men in Grosse Pointe. When they wear dress shoes, do they have socks on? Well, listen to this one from our friend Keith Newell, who weighs in a lot. He said, I was at a very nice wedding about a year ago where it was all tuxedos, black tie, and they were all from Grosse Pointe, and not one of the groomsmen or the groom wore socks. So there they are in their formal dress, and still no socks.
What's wrong with those people?
I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's any other place in the country or world where this happens, but it's been the case in Grosse Pointe for as long as I can remember. I'm not putting it down. In fact, I like going without socks, but there are times I do put socks on, especially in the winter. All right, we've got somebody standing by who I love, always have, such a talented, talented writer and deep thinker. And we used to enjoy her, reading her in the Detroit News, and I was even a slight colleague with my Monday column. And she got picked up, stolen away from us by USA Today. But she's not really stolen away because we can always read her in USA Today. And that's Ingrid Jacques. Ingrid, how are you doing?
Hi, Paul. It's so good to talk to you again. It's been too long.
It's been way too long, and Mike Parsons and I have discussed it. You're one of our favorites. We want to have you on a lot more often, and we mean that.
Love that.
And you go right to the heart of stories that we think about and talk about among ourselves. The latest is the incredible buffoonery, spectacle, embarrassment. I can't come up with enough words quickly enough on what took place at the House Oversight and Accountability Committee when a fight broke out. You go ahead and tell us your part of the story.
Yeah, it is hard to find the right words to describe what happened exactly. And it is appalling that this is the state of our Congress. But at this hearing, as you said, there really was a fight that broke out. There weren't any punches thrown, but it wouldn't have surprised me if that did happen, but it didn't. But it wouldn't probably surprise anyone to know that Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Georgia Republican, kind of got things going. She lobbed an insult at a Democrat on the committee, calling out her, quote, fake eyelashes.
It was appalling from that moment on. It only got worse.
It only got worse. But I think it's important to note, while she got the ball rolling, she was not a lone player here, right? I mean, this was a real back and forth among several members. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she chimed in saying, like, oh, girl, baby girl, don't even play. I had to watch this, the clip of what happened several times. It's like, is this for real? Is this a Babylon Bee? I mean, it just really was quite something. And I thought it was important to point out that even though it's ridiculous, but I think it's also important to just really see what's going on with these leaders that we're electing, or they should be our leaders. I don't know if they're really showing much leadership, but these are people that Americans are voting for. So I hope they're paying attention to what they're actually doing in Congress.
I fear they do not, but that's another story. Yeah. But so the dissing went back and forth with Green getting, they said something like dissing Green in her, quote, bleach blonde, bad build, butch body. What are you talking
about? Whatever that means.
I'm not going to pretend to have any idea. Look, AOC, America off course, as far as I'm concerned, that's what AOC stands for. But for AOC to stand up for her colleague and say, how dare you attack the physical appearance of another person, as if she's never attacked anybody for anything. She attacks all the time if you happen to be a Republican, a conservative, or whatever. But this, I'm trying to understand what she meant when she said, oh, girl, baby girl, don't even play. I am missing this. I know it must be a cultural thing, but I don't know what she's trying to say there.
I mean, it sounds like something you would hear in middle school halls, you know, not Congress. And actually, I think John Fetterman, the Pennsylvania senator, really said it best when he tweeted, or whatever it is now put out on X, that he had before compared Congress, the House, to the Jerry Springer Show. But he said after this transpired, he's like, I want to apologize to the Jerry Springer Show, because it was that appalling.
Here's a scary thing. Ingrid Jacques with us, columnist, USA Today, formerly Detroit News. Her heart will always be here. And she still lives around here. But let me tell you what's really scary. That I've actually agreed with John Fetterman a few times lately.
You know, that has surprised me as well. I wrote about that at the beginning of the year, this very strong stance for Israel that he's taken, and he's really stood by it. And, you know, he's not had a hard time standing up to some of these ridiculous things some of his progressive colleagues are doing. So, you know, he was someone that I'll admit I didn't have a lot of respect for right away, but he's earned it. I mean, he's definitely a Democrat, a pretty far left one, but he seems more principled than some of his colleagues in Congress right now. So I definitely give him credit for that.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Now, I don't know if there's a book in this or a study that should get started, but I'm going to ask you, Ingrid, because you'd be just the right person. I, over the many years I've been in broadcasting, have interviewed countless politicians, congresspeople, senators, presidents, every president since Gerald Ford at the White House. I've interviewed them all. On an individual basis, all of them have seemed to be okay. But when they get in a group of fellow congresspeople, senators, or whatever, they can become the biggest idiots I've ever seen on the face of the earth. What is that about? I think there's a study in that or a book.
That's an excellent question, Paul. And I wish I had a good answer for you. But I mean, I think it's a reflection of our whole culture right now. We live oftentimes a lot of our lives online and social media, and it encourages that kind of polarization and I think it's a reflection of these folks that we're seeing in Congress is what's going on in our daily lives, but it is definitely alarming. And I have been looking for book ideas, so maybe I'll think about that some more.
I mean, you could come up with a clever title on the cover.
I like it.
Okay as one, buffoons as two or more. I don't know. There's a better cover than that. Hey, are you happy?
I am. I'm really loving the new job.
Good.
It's not that new anymore. I've been here a few years. But yes, it's a good challenge, and it's fun having a national audience.
Well, and we're glad we can still read you. So that's all good for us, too. Thanks, Ingrid. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Paul. All right, great.
Ingrid Jacques, the columnist now for the USA Today at the Detroit News for a number of years, doing a great job. Actually, I forgot this. She was kind of like my boss there, along with Nolan Finley back at the time when I would do my column. Anyway, she's great, very talented. Coming up, the great and very talented Candace Miller. Always love speaking with Candace. That's what's up next here in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR.